Amen. Thank you so much. Do y'all need a job? No? Amen. Appreciate that so much. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. We'll go to Mark chapter 6. All right, Mark's chapter number 6. And as you turn there, I want to tell on Dr. Bill real quick. He has done something for me that no one else has ever done or gotten me to do. And he knows what I'm about to say. It's okay. But back right before I graduated from college here about 10 years ago, we had a meeting. I was going to be with him in New Jersey. And New Jersey is a shorter flight than it is a drive. And so he got me a plane ticket to go up there. And I'd never been flying. I was of the camp that God said, "Lo, he'll be with you always," you know. And that was definitely me. But he got me over. I don't think he got me over the fear of flying. I think it increased. But he got me on a plane and got me back home. But while we were in New Jersey flying back home, it snowed almost a foot that night. And I was like, good night. I'm never getting home. I'm never getting back to my wife. This is awful. And then I wake up that morning and everything's cleared out. And I said, man, they know how to do it up here. They need to learn some, North Carolina needs to learn some lessons from New Jersey on that matter, you know, just on that matter. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here. And so good to be with you this morning, all right? Okay, Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. We're going to start in verse number 45. And as I was praying what God would have me to preach this morning and speak on this morning, truly what I want to do for you guys is this. I want to preach from my heart to yours. That's what I want to do. I want to share my heart with you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be an encouragement. Because what I'm going to share with you this morning, I have been through. And many of the faculty and staff, many others here as well, have been through some of the same things. And what I want to speak to you on this morning is this. What do you do when the unexpected happens? What do you do when the unexpected happens, when the all of a sudden moments of life happen? What do you do when that takes place? What do you do when the unexpected happens, even in your life? Let me ask you, have you had those times before? What did you do? What did you do? You know, we can look at many times in Scripture, many characters from Scripture, many people from the Bible, and see those times of in their life, or when they went through the unexpected times of life, when they went through the all of a sudden moments. And of course, one individual, we're not looking at him necessarily in full this morning, but that comes to mind is Job. Job lost everything in a matter of moments. He lost his finances, he lost his family, and he lost his physical health. In just a matter of moments, he lost it all. But he said this, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I want to have that kind of spirit. I want to have that kind of faith in the Lord. And even Job said later on, he said, "When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold." I want you to know that God wants to make you gold this morning. He's not satisfied with bronze or silver. He wants you to be gold. Sometimes that means you'll go through the testing times of life, the trials of life, the all of a sudden moments of life. You'll face them. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do during those times? You know, there's a phrase that has often come to my mind from time to time when I go through moments like that. And I encourage you to write it down, and it is this. It's not always easy following the will of God. It's not always easy, but it is always right. It is always right. Mark that down, write it down, put it in your Bible, and never forget that truth. And God's will for your life should be the only motivating factor you have. And that's what Paul even said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, "I press toward the mark." His goal was God, the will of God for his life. That's what he wanted. Listen, make God's will motivation the motivating factor for your life. You'll never go wrong. I promise. Make God the goal for your life. But as you look at different individuals from Scripture, you'll see this principle of it's not always easy following the Lord, but it's always right. You'll find many people like that in the Bible. And one in particular is here in Mark chapter number 6. All right, the disciples here in the New Testament, they face this unexpected storm. We'll read here in just a moment. They faced it. These men have been in storms before, but nothing like this. This was sudden. It was unexpected. And they cried out in fear. It was an unexpected time of life. But you see, God allows these times to come in our life, those times that are uncomfortable. During those times, He wants to stretch us. He wants to make us better, not worse. He wants those times to be for our good and for His glory. Romans 8, 28, still in the Bible. I'm thankful for that. It's for our good and for His glory. God has a plan. He has a purpose for us all and for it all, and He must be trusted. You know, Pastor Cody is my pastor for 10 years, and he said this often with counseling with folks and even with me. He said, "You know, I never feel sorry for a person who has to trust God." I said, "That's good. I appreciate that." And truly, these men found out very quickly in the sudden moments of life, they had to trust in the Lord. So let's look at it and try to find some encouragement this morning. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 45. All right, the Bible says this, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. They all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." I encourage you, if you have a habit of marking your Bible, to underline verse 52 in its entirety, because it always interested me as I would read it, and we'll come back to it shortly, but they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Verse 53, "And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore." I believe here there's three responses that we can see from this portion of Scripture that we can take and apply to our own lives when we face sudden storms of life. There's three responses that we can see, and one of them, by the way, is right. So let's look at it this morning, all right? The first response these men had in this sudden storm of life is this. They responded in fear. They responded in fear. Now keep in mind, these fellows had just come from the feeding of the 5,000, which is the one of the only miracles that was recorded in all four gospel accounts. So no doubt, this miracle they could not forget. None of them forgot about it. And at this moment, just prior to this storm, maybe their faith was at its peak in the Lord at this moment, because they were so excited what God had done. Just a handful of bread and a few small sardines, God fed over 5,000 men, and then took up leftovers even afterwards. No doubt they're excited what God had just done, but because of a sudden storm, their unwavering faith that they just had gave way to the fear of the unknown. And what's really interesting to me about these two events, the feeding of the 5,000 and this sudden storm of life, is probably only separated by around maybe 9 hours. Not days, not weeks, not months, not years, just hours. Just hours. You can go from, it is so good to serve God, to, I fear about to die, what are we going to do next kind of thing. These individuals were facing a sudden time of life, and they responded in fear. They responded in fear because of an unexpected event. The faith in the Savior gave way to the fear of the storm. And by the way, this temptation is very easy to give in to being fearful instead of faithful and full of faith. God in the past has been faithful to meet all of our needs, yet we see a bigger need arise and we ask ourselves, does God even know what I'm going through? Does God even care what I'm going through at this moment? God in the past has helped heal a certain heartache or a trouble or whatever, and then a new trouble arises, and then we say, Master, carest thou not? Many times we are tempted to do just as the disciples in this portion of Scripture. And I want you to know, if you ever question if God truly cares about you, I want you to always go back and look at Calvary. Always go back and look at Calvary. You go through a sudden storm of life and you don't know what to do, and even question, does God care what I'm going through? Look back at Calvary, and there He's proved His love and care for you. Always go back. Never get over the cross. Never get over Calvary. Never get over the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always go back, because that He proved His love for you and I that day. But I'm reminded as well how the Hebrews responded when they themselves found another situation of life that was sudden and unexpected, didn't know which way to turn. And there at the Red Sea, even after all the miracles they had witnessed in Egypt, after all the plagues they had seen, everything that God had done in their life, they too responded in fear. Listen to what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 through 14. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. But many times we look at them, we point the finger. But many times we respond, sometimes in an exact same way. We're tempted to be fearful, and we act foolishly many times. Now listen, being afraid is okay as long as it didn't stop you. It's okay to be afraid, people. It's okay. I told the church, I said, look, I'm treading upon this as your pastor with fear and trembling. I don't take it flippantly. I don't do that. It's okay to be scared, but as long as it don't stop you. I'm reminded of Joshua in the first two chapters when the Lord told Joshua, said, look, you're going to be the next leader of the Hebrews after Moses is gone. And four times the Lord looked at him and said, be strong and of good courage. Four times. No doubt Joshua was probably scared to take the lead of these 3 to 4 million, I don't know how many they were, complaining, murmuring Hebrews. It had been tough. But he needed to be strong and of good courage. Now, what is courage? It's not the absence of fear. It's quite opposite. It's being afraid, but doing it anyway. That's true courage. Being afraid, but do it anyway. Don't let fear stop you. And listen, don't respond in fear, because listen, God is going to be with you just as he was with Joshua, with Moses, many others through Scripture, through with Paul. Listen, he's the same God. He'll be with you as well. I'm thankful that God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, you're going to face unexpected times of life, maybe even this summer. But don't respond in fear. Don't respond in fear, because fear can cause you to do very foolish things. Don't respond in fear. So how else was the response that they had here in Mark chapter number 6? All right, number 2. Not only did they respond in fear, number 2, they responded this way. Look at verse number 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. They responded a little bit foolishly with a hard heart. With a hard heart. You know, as I look at these individuals and I say, good night, how can you respond with a hard heart? These disciples, these 12 men who have been with Jesus for three and a half years. How do they respond with a hard heart? How can you get to that point? These men who had seen the miracles, who had seen the lame walk, who had seen the blind see, who had seen the deaf receive their hearing again, who have seen just recently, 9 hours prior, the feeding of the 5,000. But now they got a hard heart. How can these men see literally people raised from the dead? And all of a sudden, because of the unexpected storm of life, they have a hard heart. They responded with a hard heart. They saw all that God had done, all that Jesus had done with their own eyes, and they participated in themselves, in the miracles themselves. They participated. But here they said they had a hard heart. But how do you get to that point? How do you get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Many times you can get there by this, being forgetful. Not remembering what God has done for you. You know, forgetting God and forgetting what He's done for you will make your heart hard and harder. Look again at verse 52. For they considered not, you see it? They considered not the miracle of the loaves. It's easy to forget what God has done in our life. Forget what He's done in past difficulties and past storms. It's easy to forget those things, especially when you find yourself with a new face difficulty, a new storm of life. But listen, it's that prime time when you face those new storms to remember what God has done in the past. If God has given you victory in the past, listen, He'll do it again in the present. God does not change. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If He's helped you in the past, listen, He'll do it again. If He's met your need in the past, He'll do it again. If He's met your school bill last year, guess what? He'll do it again. God doesn't change. Remember what He's done for you in the past. Now, I always encourage, we worked with the teenagers, and really we don't stop working with them once you become pastor. But when I was youth director, assistant, minister to porcelain, whatever you want to call it, you know, they basically said this, that's what Phillips are for. And that was my title. I was the Philip. But I always encourage the teenagers. I said, look, God has done something in your life. We go to camp or whatever it may be, and God, they've really gotten closer to the Lord. God had done something mighty in their life. I said, listen, write it down. Write it down in your Bible. You know, I have so many times written down so many things in my Bible God has helped me with, and I can show them to you, and we can read them and take the rest of the time to do so, but God has helped me so much. Now, I write it down. There's one I got highlighted here that Dr. King said one day. He said, don't be afraid of obedience. I was like, man, that is simple, but that is excellent. Never be afraid of obedience. You know, whatever God has done in your life in the past, look, write it down. You know, Spurgeon said this. He said, so many times we tend to write our troubles in marble and write our victories in sand. Make the opposite true. Make the opposite true. Listen, never forget what God has done for you in the past, because He can still do it in the present. Again, I'm reminded of the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter number 3, verse 8 through 9, when they went through the wilderness. The Bible says this, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. The Bible says that they saw, these Hebrews in the wilderness saw the mighty works of God for 40 years, yet every time they came to a new bump in the road, they would cry out for fear. Why? Because they had forgotten what God had done just previous days previous before. They would forget what God had done in their own life. It's amazing to me when you read about them. And I guess as a preacher, when you read the stories and the wilderness wanderings, and you see when they cry out to the Lord in fear and other things, you look at them like, good night, straighten up, people. You know, at least that's what I want to do. Maybe you're not like me, but anyway, that's what I want to do. Because you look back just verses before where God came through. But they forgot about it. They've forgotten about when it came to the Red Sea, that where God had just delivered them from, being rescued from the very cruel hand of Pharaoh himself. They were slaves in bondage there in Egypt under him. I don't know how, but they forgot that one. I don't know how you forget that one, but they did. They forgot about the crossing over the Red Sea upon dry ground, watching the very enemy that hunted them down drown in the waters, never to persecute them again. They saw God feed them through the wilderness with manna from heaven to fill their bellies when they were hungry. The Bible says it's angel's food. And in the Hebrew, I believe that means Krispy Kreme-o. I think it does. But anyway, yeah. I'm glad we got some safe people out there. You know, that's good. But they forgot about this. They forgot about the quail God gave them when they got tired of manna. They forgot about looking down at their own feet and these shoes that they were wearing for 40 years, never wore out. Good night. All they had to do is look down. They'd be reminded of the goodness of God in their own life. But they forgot. They forgot. They were witnesses of all the great works of God. They saw it all. But listen to how they responded when they came to a new one. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 17, verse number 7, they said this, is the Lord among us or not? Really? They said this ridiculous statement because they forgot how good God had been in their life. And when we allow our hearts to become hardened, we can say some very foolish things as well. We can say something, is God among us or not? We could be even like the disciples in a previous storm in Mark chapter number 4. You see, this wasn't the first bad storm they'd been in. They were in a previous one before, just a couple of chapters. In chapter number 4, verses 37 through 41, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? You know, when you read that those verses and those men, yes, no doubt it had been scary to be in that storm. It's fearful to be on a very unsettling sea and lake. I was on the lake this past week at, anybody like bass fishing? All right, there's about 5, 6, 10 safe people here. That's great. All right. So if you ever get to go to Lake Gunnersville. All right. It's an excellent lake. It's kind of a mecca of bass fishing. But I was there this past week, and the wind got up, and so did the waves. The river got raging, and even in a decently sized boat, it got a little scary. And I put on my life vest thinking this could be the big one, you know, this would be the end. But no doubt these guys, when they were on the sea, they were scared to death. Scared to death. And when you're scared, with a hard heart, you'd be tempted to say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you even care? It's ridiculous sometimes to think that, but look, we've all been guilty from time to time, I'm sure. But do not forget what God has done to you, done for you in the past, because He can do it again in the next tough situation that you face. Unexpected time. Another individual I think of who faced unexpected times of life is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Listen to this testimony that he had of his tough times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, at night and a day I have been in the deep, in the journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul went through some very tough times, all those perils. But he also went through some tough times with people forsaking him. He was writing to his preacher boy, his son of faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. He said all men had forsook him. And then he talked about Demas, no doubt, who was a preacher boy as well, who did the same things. He was a fellow minister with Paul, did the same things with Paul, preached with Paul, started churches with Paul. But he wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, remember Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And again, in 2 Timothy, he talked about how Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. His enemies were against him, of course. But he made this very encouraging statement. He said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and the Gentiles might hear. But there's another statement this man made. He went through some very hard times, unexpected times of life, but he made this statement, and it's one that I refer to often, especially with trying to help people and counsel people, encourage them. And I encourage you to write this down in the margin of your Bible. Memorize the Scripture. Memorize it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which had happened unto me, remember all those perils we talked about, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I don't have all the answers to life, and that may surprise some of you, but I don't. None of us do. I don't understand why the sudden times of life happen. I don't understand exactly why all the unexpected times of life happen, why these sudden storms arise from time to time. I don't understand it all the time. I don't like it. I don't have all the answers for those times. I don't understand the suffering that takes place in people's life. I don't understand all the heartaches that even believers, good people, face. And it seems as if they've done nothing to deserve it. I don't understand those sometimes. I don't understand the pains of life, but maybe, just maybe, God is allowing you to go through those times of life for this, for the furtherance of the gospel. For the furtherance of the gospel. You see, there are things that folks have gone through that can make them a better witness for Christ and be able to reach people that otherwise would not be able to be reached effectively and minister to, unless they had gone through a storm of life. What are you talking about? I've had friends who have lost children. And it's so sad to see. heartbreaking, gut-wrenching. I've never experienced that, and I hope I never do. But you see, those friends will be able to minister to those that have lost children more effectively than I could, you see, for the furtherance of the gospel. So why are you facing sudden times of life? Why do you face storms of life? Well, it could be this. God's getting you ready to help minister for the furtherance of the gospel. So, in a sudden storm of life, you can respond this way. In fear, with a hard heart, and be very foolish in doing so. Or you can respond this way, number three, in faith. And by the way, that's the correct way. That's the right response. Look at verse number 45. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. He constrained them to get in. He told them to get in the boat to go to the other side. This is what God wanted for them. This was God's will for their lives at this moment. God wanted them on the other side. Why? Because there's more work to be done in Gennesaret, and he needed them on the other side. God had told him, that was his will, that was his command, get to the other side. But, and look at verse number 53, and when they had passed over. I love that. When they had passed over. Just as God said they would do, go over to the other side, they did exactly that. But in between what God told them and the arrival, yes, there was an unexpected storm. But they should have known, they could have trusted in the Lord because they had been through a storm before. But they forgot. Yes, it was a scary time of life, but they should have known they could trust the God of all peace. Yes, it was they thought maybe they would even die, but they could trust the God of all living. They could trust in the Lord. Through this time of their life, they needed to respond in faith, knowing God said we're going to get to the other side. Yeah, it's scary getting there, but God said we're going to get to the other side. And when it comes to responding in faith, I'm reminded of a man. Many of them, of course, but one in particular, I guess, because I've just went through the study of his life with our church. The man Joseph, oh my, the things he went through as a young man and how he responded correctly is pretty amazing to me. You know the story. He was betrayed by his own brothers, and that would be awful. Be thrown into a dry well. You're basically screaming for your life as they planned your murder. Because a brother, I believe he was screaming for his life, because even the brothers would later on, as they met up with Joseph, they say, didn't we see the anguish of his soul as we watched him there? Betrayed by his brothers. He was lied about, of course, by Potiphar's wife, which caused him to be thrown in prison for something he didn't do for years. And all this took place from the age of 17 to 30. All these things. For 13 years he faced hardship after hardship after a hardship. But you come to the end of his life and you see his response, and I love it. And write it down, Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. He said this, God meant it unto good. He said, you thought to do me evil, but God meant it unto good to save much people alive. Listen, how could Joseph respond in such a way? Because he was keeping his eyes fixed and focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the God of heaven. He kept his faith focused upon the Lord. Listen, let me ask you, when the sudden happens, will you be like Joseph? When the sudden happens, will you respond like Joseph? No, the betrayal of his brothers, it didn't feel good. Again, like I said, he was in anguish of soul. His heart was breaking as they were planning on what to do with him. It's his own family. Was betraying him. No, it didn't feel good. No, being lied about didn't feel good. No, being in prison wasn't pleasant, not one bit. No, none of that felt good, but it was for his good. He said, God meant it unto good. And through it all, God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph. It was to save much people alive. So let me ask you this morning, how will you respond in the unexpected times of life? Not if they come. Listen this morning. I know you're tired. You may have some exams. But listen. Not if, but when. When they come, how will you respond? You know, some of the phone calls I've gotten down through the years, I thought I'd never get. There's been many times I've called Pastor Ogle He's shaking his head, yes. I've called Pastor Ogle. I said, Pastor Ogle, you didn't tell us this in class. There's been phone calls even recently I've gotten. Never thought ever I'd get. Got a phone call and say, you remember so-and-so? Yeah, how they doing? They took their own life last night. Never thought I'd get those. Those are never easy funerals to preach. Get a phone call. You remember so-and-so? Yeah, how they doing? How's their kids? Well, he left them, abandoned them. Wants nothing to do with them. What? Get another phone call. You remember so-and-so? Yeah, how's he doing? How's the church? How's the ministry going there? He left. He's out. He's done. What? Why? How? Sudden storms of life come, and when they do, how will you respond? How are you going to respond to them? You're going to respond in fear. It's okay. Like I said, be scared. It's okay. But don't let it stop you. You're going to respond in fear. You're going to respond with a hard heart. And by responding that way, you'll do some very foolish and hurtful things and say some very foolish and hurtful things. Or you're going to respond in faith. Responding that way is always right. Trusting in the Lord. Listen, as I thought about this message this morning, you may not need it today, but you might need it 10 years from today. You might. And I encourage you, maybe get on the website and look it up, and not from me, but it's the Bible, you know, and be reminded to respond in faith, not fear, not with a hard heart, but trust in the Lord. There's a verse that comes to mind. I'll leave you with this. In Psalm 11, verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, I'm from the mountains of Western North Carolina, born and raised, you know, so I guess I'm a hillbilly. So can I give you a hillbilly translation of that? Man, my apple cart has been turned over. What am I going to do now? Well, the answer is in verse number 1 of Psalm 11. The answer is this: in the Lord put I my trust. You may not need this today, but you might need it later on. And put your faith, trust in the Lord, for He's worthy to be trusted. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail you. It's scary. Those storms and sudden times of life, man, unexpected times are so scary. Don't know which way to turn, what to do. But always, you'll never go wrong, always turning to the Lord. Turn to God. Maybe you're going through a time like that even this morning. I encourage you. It's scary, I know. I know. But turn to the Lord. Turn to Him. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness, Your love to us. And Lord, during these times of life when we face the uncertainties and are so hard, God, they're tough. But I'm reminded that Your grace is sufficient for our every need. You're still the Almighty. You're still the Creator, God. You've created everything. You have power of it all, and we trust in You. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us first. In Jesus' name.